Welcome, Pinto and Sean Bean patrons. Welcome to Extra Beans.
I'm hoping the internet holds today. There's a brand new internet set up as of this morning.
After internet.
A lightning strike took out the last one.
What?
Bloody hell, really?
Yeah.
Did it explode?
No, sadly, that would have been a bit of fun. There was the loudest thunderclap I've ever heard in my entire life, directly overhead in the middle of the night the other night. And then all the electrics were out downstairs.
What did you say in the moments before the thunderclap?
Pam!
Come to me, Pam.
That's what you said after the thunderclap, isn't it?
Yeah, both, yeah.
Pam, grab your passport, we're going.
It's a Pam thunderclap sandwich.
What I'm getting at is, were you uttering the words of a spell?
Oh, yes. I do a lot of sleep incantations. That is true.
Yes.
Which I have been trying to cut down on.
Yeah,
I'm not quite sure. Maybe I think I'm supposed to eat less crunchy nut cornflakes before I go to bed or something. I don't know. This whatever's triggering it, I've got to change my routine, definitely.
And that's why your wife has to have a sort of bag of live lizards and sort of frogs and various things to counter the different incantations you can do in the night,
that's
doesn't
right.
she? Which
that's
has to keep right. lobbing over towards you. Yeah. She tries to lob them in your mouth, doesn't she?
She lobs them in my mouth, and then if that doesn't work, she puts me in a burlap bag and ties me up and has to sort of hang me off a telephone pole.
Yeah.
Until I've been lashed by the rain and the lightning.
Yeah.
And that tends to stop it.
And then you'll normally come back some point at sort of 3, 4 a.m. naked with and with horns. Naked and horned.
But deeply refreshed.
But
ready to start the day.
Yeah.
And then as long as you know, your wife recites the prayer that was given to her by the Bishop of Exeter.
That's right.
Holding aloft the carved turnip.
Yeah.
Of Edward the Confessor.
The Dementor icon. Yes.
Yeah. And obviously that prayer has been tattooed onto the foreheads of everyone in the family, including Pam, so that it can be seen at the drop
and
of a hat.
Any neighbour within a 50 yard.
Yeah. Everyone has to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They understand that. That's part of their leasehold.
Which is why you do check the lease. Do check those small prints, isn't it, on leases.
And do get a good conveyancer who can work through incantations and spells. And special hymns that need to be sung before you cross the threshold, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also do get a survey done.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah. Are there three taps in the kitchen? If so, one of them might be holy water. Does it look like it's been blessed recently? These are all signs that you might be dealing with it.
Yeah.
A locality that's had some trouble, that's got a difficult incantation sleeper in the neighbourhood.
Yeah. Are there two nozzles on the shower? In which case, one of those nozzles might be cursed water.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
it's a lot cheaper.
It is a lot cheaper, but is it the start
to
the day
you
want?
You don't have to heat it either. It just comes out scaldingly hot.
Scalding.
Cursed plumbing is some of the cheapest energy you'll get in this country these days.
Well, it's literally heated by the bowels of hell, isn't it? Which is the only fully renewable energy source we have.
You will stink sulphurous throughout the day.
Yeah, you'll stink of sulphur.
But that's, you know...
But it's one in the eye for Putin, isn't it?
You'll speak in reverse Aramaic, won't it? So it'll be backwards. You'll be speaking backwards Aramaic.
So everything you have to record on your voice notes on your phone and then find a way that you can play it backwards and befriend an Aramaic scholar who can then... it really slows down small talk in particular.
Really does. You'll also have a third ear growing out of the top of your head, which will translate everything you hear into Latin. Really annoying, including noises.
So when you're getting your reverse Aramaic then translated by the scholar into English, that comes into your third ear, you hear it in Latin.
Yeah, in Latin.
So then how are you learning to understand that?
Well, that's why you get signed on for free adult learning Latin courses in our area.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. And also that's why probably only used cursed plumbing if you are a classicist.
Yeah.
Is what we say.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it is a false economy.
The time and money you're spending on those immersive Latin crash courses. Yeah.
Also, am I right in saying that sort of one day in three, Mel Gibson will just turn up in your house?
That's right.
Which can be pretty exciting to begin with.
He will, armed to the teeth.
Yeah. I mean, he's got anecdotes from the making of Apocalypto, which will... Get you through those first few
He'll bring you a Victoria sponge. It won't all be bad.
Yeah.
He's not bad.
He'll be caked up. He'll pick. Yeah. But is he just picking up that cake en route at a Tesco Metro?
Okay.
And repackaging it in a tin. To make it look like it was homemade. I'm not saying a definitive answer to that.
They are always perfectly round. Almost
perfectly round.
Almost as if.
Yeah.
Machine made.
But obviously don't say that to him.
No.
Because he'll be very angry. He'll be screaming, shouting. Obviously that's coming through to you in Latin.
Yeah.
So you're just hearing things like Sanguine Christo, mate.
Dominus pluribus, mate. Ipsi facto, you nut.
Obviously, mate is not translatable in Latin. So that just comes through.
Well, it comes from the Latin, doesn't it?
Mate.
Yeah.
I never learned any Latin in school. You went to slightly posher schools than I did.
We got made to do Latin.
Yes. Well, the only thing I've ever known about people learning Latin is that when you do it, all the characters in the sort of, you know, like when we learn French, it'd be
Quintus
people
and Metella.
What?
Quintus. Quintus.
Well,
is this what I'm getting at? Metella. Yeah.
So I learned French and German and things like that in school, and in the textbooks, it would be some teenagers from the '80s.
Yeah.
And they'd be wearing kind of like day glow tracksuits, and they'd be saying things.
And they
like,
all like table tennis.
On y va to the youth club or whatever, and exactly, they're into table tennis and disco pop or whatever. Dans la discothèque. But when you learn Latin, it's like a character from ancient Rome, isn't it? Who's like,
it's a young lad called Quintus getting into scrapes, staying out too late for his tea, and then his mother Metella shouting at him through the atrium that his dormouse is getting cold.
Yeah. But no, I did a bit of Latin. The main thing I remember from Latin is my Latin teacher on our first day of Latin came in and told the class what he was called, as you do at the beginning.
Mr. Penis.
Mr. Penis. That's penis US, which we then all had to decline. Penis, penar, penom, penarum, penatum. he was called Dr. Pratt. And so that's basically all I remember from Latin was just the fact that he was called Dr. Pratt. I don't think we stopped laughing for the rest of the year. But I think he came in. I think he realised he had to pull the Pratt plaster off fast. I think he just came in. He was like, "Hi, I'm Dr. Pratt." It was almost too quick, though. I think it's clearly something he'd been working on, and I don't think he'd fully hit his correct way to drop that information. I think he came in too fast with it, almost the Dr. Pratt stuff.
We had this thing in school where if you found out the first name of a teacher, it was like,
oh yeah,
huge. Did you have this?
Like finding out the first name of Morse or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And would be deployed by the naughtiest kid in your year.
Exactly, yeah. Shut up, Timothy.
Yeah. Oh, ouch.
Out. Grady, get out now.
Exactly. As if you'd done something truly awful, but they'd just use their name.
The only person who had a good response to that, what was his name? His name was Mr. Peel. And there was a guy who definitely deployed that. And Mr. Peel started calling him Matthew O'Grady, which wasn't his name. There were elements of it that were close to his name. But he'd always address him in full as Matthew O'Grady. Just one element was close, but not right. One element was completely wrong. And
That's quite an advanced technique.
It did quench the flames of rebellion in this kid in that class.
Yeah,
because he didn't know what's this guy doing? Is he doing that intentionally? Is he just crackers? Is he losing it? He didn't know where he was with it at all.
That's quite clever. I wouldn't be able to cope if I was a teacher with a bunch of kids. I just there's no way I'd be able to cope with the kind of techniques we were deploying to undermine teachers. I would just instantly be. Turds, turds, you little turds, you're turds. Turds, you're a turd, you're a turd. Turd face, turd, 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 you're turds. That's all.
And it will be you going to see the headmaster.
I'd be yet again going to see the headmaster.
Okay, Henry.
Right.
Just, you finish your Horlicks, and then when you've calmed down.
Your mother will pick you up.
Darling, we've had your report card through from your art teacher, Mr. Paco, and it's just the word turds written again and again and again.
They're all turds, I tell you, turds.
He's cast a turd in bronze as your school report. It must have taken him absolutely hours.
Yes, I mean, when you look, I always think when you look back at school, basically the goal was to make your teacher have some kind of breakdown, basically. Yeah. That was the goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nobody felt that that was problematic in any way.
No, and no one was considering that that was happening year in, year out.
With no,
every refreshed, like bringing in some fresh young subs onto the pitch, you know.
Yeah.
Just giving them another kicking that we were chipping away bit by bit.
The real mistake was if they ever showed any weakness, basically. Mm. Oh. I was thinking about this the other day. We had a supply teacher who was Scottish, which was basically enough that this was already like he was fucked, basically.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
And he was maths. He really like messed up the class. He lost control of the class completely. Oh. Yeah. And he was standing at the front. And someone had chucked some chalk on his back or something. So basically on the back of his suit, there was a big chalk mark.
Oh, God.
So every time he turned around, but he didn't know why. Mm-mm. And then our normal teacher, Mrs. Johnston, was sat in sort of the side. And that whole dynamic then, it was just like, mm-mm. I don't know, we just knew that he was toast. Mm. And then it completely descended into anarchy. And then the bell went and you could see him look really relieved. Mm. And then we all heard him as we walked out say to Mrs. Johnston, regular teacher, oh, I think I really goofed that one. And that became, oh, no, I mean, no. That was said back to him.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Probably considered to be 100 times a lesson then for the rest of the term.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He'd go, oh, I think you've actually got that one wrong because you haven't done the long division. Oh, sorry, sir, I think I goofed that one. Oh, no. And it was just like, he was done. Oh, no. He was done.
Oh. It's a perfect weapon, isn't it?
But if you think back, it's horrifying.
That's why he should. But if he'd hit you with turds early enough and hard enough, if he just spun round, turd, look you all in the eye, turd, and committed to it and stuck with it.
So if you were forced to be a teacher, Henry, you'd be doing that before they'd even said a word, before you'd said anything else, just straight.
Well, what I would try and do is access, before I go into the classroom, the speaker thing, you know, which announces...
The sort of tannoy system.
I get through the tannoy system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, which isn't there, but yeah, go on.
Generally not there in British schools, but still. I'd try and gain access to that.
You'd install that.
And also, I'd say that I'm going to be a good supply teacher. All I need is access to the school building for 24 hours before my first class.
And some scaffolding.
And I need to bring the... Is it Holmes Under the Hammer? One of those teams of people that no.
Quick turnaround, guys. Yeah.
Okay, quick turnaround people. So what I'm going to need is, I'm going to wire in the tannoy system, and the only other person I want access to is the original choreography, lighting, and effects team from the first production of Phantom of the Opera. So I just want access to those guys. I want 80s, you know, stage effects, so Shaftesbury Avenue type. So what I want is, oh, that new teacher's coming on in a bit. I think we're going to take him to the cleaners. That's what they're all saying.
They're already sort of brainstorming ways they can...
They're brainstorming.
Subvert your name.
Yeah, they're checking things. Right. They've got...
There's rumours going around that you're bald.
Yeah, there's rumours that I'm bald, which they're very, very excited about. They've tried to work out, they've designed a catapult that can lob bacon. The idea being, if they can get a square hit with bacon on the back of my head during the first lesson when I'm facing the blackboard, they own me. It's done.
That's a checkmate move.
That's checkmate. And I would be expected then to fully, submit to.
Yeah, they're allowed to make
whatever they want.
Teas and coffees in the staff kitchen in the art department.
They can make teas and coffees. I will be buying them cigarettes online.
Let them use your car.
They'll have access to my car. They certainly
You're putting Predator on the telly in the corner of the room.
Yeah. Predator will be on at all times. I'll be introducing them to, a drinks cabinet. I'll bring in a drinks cabinet. I'll be wearing a sexy butler outfit.
Waist up.
Waist down. They would have grafted on some goat's legs.
it's goat's legs. Yeah, Monday, Wednesday, and then bacon trousers the rest.
Bacon trousers, and then I'll be just serving up cocktails. and it'll be an honesty system, honesty bar, but for me. So they'll be trusting me to pay for all the drink rather than borrow money off anyone else, or they'll just want to know it's coming out of my account, which it will.
Although
be.
you will be giving them a line of credit, which they're able to use.
That's right,
because they're allowed to use your credit score now. So
they can use my credit score in perpetuity.
Yeah, and if you fail at any point, then you are on a bound to attempt to wedgie the PE teacher, which they know will end very badly for you.
Yeah. So all of that stuff will be agreed. If the bacon makes its mark, but that's where the Andrew Lloyd Webber team come in, because in the same way that Andrew Lloyd Webber has for decades bugged everyone in the country to try and get the mood of what will be the next big musical hit, the only way to do that is to bug everyone.
A lot of ex-East German types from you know, after the wall came down,
he swept in and employed them. So I would have been bugging those children and their family, so I'll know about the bacon catapult plan. Mm-hmm. So I'll be wearing...
Stetson?
At the very least, a Homburg.
Yeah. I'll be wearing a Stetson or Homburg, therefore unbullyable, effectively. From the neck up, unbullyable situation because it's so confident. And what I'll get from the Lloyd Webber team is, so essentially they think I'm about to arrive, they see a silhouette at the window, you know, the glass door that you can't quite see through.
You've pre-decorated your supply teaching room as a sort of 40s PI office. Is that right?
Exactly. It's all 40s PI style. Lots of slow-moving fans, desk fans, ceiling fans.
Floor fans.
Pencil case fans.
Are you outside to downtown Chicago?
Yep. There's a sort of steampunked downtown Chicago. They can see through the windows. So there's some of the taxis are sort of flying around on held up with balloons and stuff.
I mean, you've had a busy Sunday, haven't you? Getting this ready. You're probably quite tired at this point.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you're ready.
I'm exhausted. But luckily, a lot of this is going to be effects. So they see my silhouette in the window. Obviously, they can see the silhouette either of the Homburg or Stetson, depending on which one I'm wearing. But then, blackout. A whole class is blacked out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Brightman.
And she's up through the trapdoor.
No one is expecting that. Sarah Brightman.
Children are furiously Googling who that might be.
They're completely unmoved by the appearance of Sarah Brightman through the floor.
And then it's 80s disco funk, and the song is... And I'm in, and I'm spinning, and I'm dancing. Turds, 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 you're all turds, turds. Turds, 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 on my left, there's a turd, on my right. Turd-faced Johnny, turd-faced Steve, turd-faced Brian, turd, turd, turd. You're all turd, you're a turd, she's a turd, he's a turd, you're a turd, turd, and your dad's a turd. Do, turd off.
Or to dazzle them enough so that you can get yourself to the bacon catapult and incapacitate it before they can...
Well, imagine it's basically a smoke grenade, essentially.
That's the hope. Yeah.
Brightman goes ahead, doesn't she, with the flamethrower?
Yeah.
Because if she can crisp up that bacon, then it's not going to stick.
Yeah.
It's just going to glance straight off.
It's going to glance off the Stetson.
She's trying to crisp it up. And also, that'll take care of my lunch, which will... I mean, it won't touch the sides.
You wouldn't have had time to think about that, given what you've been up to in the last 24 hours.
I've had time to think about it. And I'm going to be needing to come up with very creative lunch solutions to pay for this whole thing. It's cost me an absolute fortune. So
what was the purpose of installing a school-wide Tano system?
Plan B?
That was... Plan B was...
Just a polite announcement saying there's a new teacher today, please.
And can you please just show him some respect?
Keep your bacon to yourselves.
Yeah, so...
Well, I think that would have worked like a dream.
I think it would have worked like a dream, wouldn't it? Mm.
Dear listener, you may remember an episode entitled Going to Disney World and Not Wanting to Be Dressed Up as a Ruffian, in which cards on the table, things went a little bit wrong, we got confused, and here's some more of that.
I've got another phrase that I think, you know how most phrases have an opposite? Because all these phrases are quite general and there's always like, you can disprove a phrase with a phrase, right?
Yeah, for example, you shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, whereas alternatively, you should, finding a baby in the street, knock on doors and see if someone else has thrown it out with bathwater or without.
You look for any doors that have got big wet patches outside, first of all. That's the first place you go.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
What I'm getting at is you can't sit on your own arse. But also, a phrase meaning you're better off getting on with it yourself and not accepting help would be you can only shit out of your own arse.
It's good, isn't it? It's uglier. It's definitely an uglier phrase.
Yeah, to me, that feels. I don't want to be offensive, but to me, that feels Italian. It feels quite earthy. Yeah. It's quite sort of.
I think it feels like a slur.
It's the kind of thing Berlusconi would say. And the
I feel it sounds like a slur to a kind of coat tailor or something like that. Oh, go and shit out of your own arse. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah. That's what it sounds like to me.
What's a coat tailor?
Someone who's hanger on to someone else's coat tailors. Someone else is doing all the work. Yeah. And, and if they could, they wouldn't even shit out of their own ass.
Guys, this is kind of like what Shakespeare did, what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he came up with loads, didn't he?
Yeah, in this exact
way. They're almost all Shakespeare. Yeah. Chip and Pin, he came up with. Didn't he?
Unexpected Lol. Item in the bagging area, I think was his.
And that was his. It was unexpected item in the stabbing area. It's from Macbeth.
So basically, we need to get You Can't Sit on Your Own Ass into a massive play, basically.
Well, who is the Shakespeare de Nogeaux?
I mean, maybe you know, we don't go straight to the playwright. We just find an actor who we can get them to slip it into a play, an already good play.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there we go.
So Rylance is doing Jerusalem or whatever.
Rylance is the key, isn't he?
Rylance. Also, audiences in a play, whatever you say, especially whatever Rylance says, they'll just think is good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they'll think you can't sit on your own ass. I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
Therefore, in fact, if anything, that triggers their I'm going to laugh loads and go and rub my chin and go, that was brilliant to whoever's sitting next to me.
Jumping the shark.
There was a period where everyone was using that phrase because it was quite a cool phrase to use. And like almost using it was like quite cool to go, I think it's jumped the shark actually. And it sort of showed that you had...
It casts you in a superior light, doesn't it? Because you are casting judgment on this thing.
But also, but what would happen is there was a phase, right? Maybe this is 10 years ago or so.
Pre-tiramisu era.
So we're in the great pyramid.
PTE, yeah.
Yeah, it was in the great...
The year 10 PTE. Yeah.
The year 10 PTE. So it was right in the middle of the great tiramisu slump where tiramisu... All the tiramisu.
There are no records of tiramisu. Anyway.
No records of tiramisu.
It was thought the recipe had been forgotten.
It was thought that the recipe had been forgotten. And then people actually started to forget that the recipe had been forgotten. And also during that period, this has been covered up actually, but two NASA astronauts returned from a long distance journey they'd been on, came back to Earth. They crashed down in the middle of the Pacific, as they do. They were rest. They got onto the ship. They as soon as they hit dry land, the question they always ask is, what do you want? What can we get you? Obviously, tiramisu. They said tiramisu, and no one knew what they were talking about.
And they were like, have we crashed on a...
Well, they assumed... Obviously, they assumed they'd crashed on...
Earth.
They assumed they'd crashed on a different planet.
Yeah.
They'd crashed in some sort of terrible tiramisu-less world.
They began firing their weapons.
They began firing. And they're still going to this day. They're still... Because obviously, all NASA astronauts have... Because they might come across aliens in an alien world, they all have about a decade's worth of ammunition on them, don't they? They're absolutely tooled up. Hugely tooled up. Actually, also, you can't sit on your own arse in space, can you? You can't sit on anything in space. You can't sit in space because you can't.
Maybe space is the only place you can sit on your own ass.
Yeah. Interesting. Or is your ass sitting on you in space? I mean, that's not a phrase. That'll never work. That hasn't got any legs or an ass. Sorry. So people weren't eating tiramisu, but what they were doing was saying jumping the shark in conversation. And then what would happen is you'd say that, and what you were hoping for was for the other person in the conversation to go, what does that mean? Yeah. And then a huge, gross, sort of shiny, dribbly smile would spread a crack across your face. And you go, well, it's a reference to Happy Days, and there was an episode where Henry Winkler water skiing and jumped over a shark, and that was seen as when the show was never as good again after that. Do you fancy a kind of soft, milky, creamy Italian dessert? I don't know what you mean. Neither do I. Bye. That was what was happening in those days.
The length and breadth of the country.
You know, who I feel sorry for is whoever came up with the idea for that shark jump, because it's really harsh when a phrase becomes that. That is synonymous now with something being bad and a bad idea. And like, we could all have
but
come
also,
up with that idea
bad,
in the room.
But fatally bad.
Fatally right? bad. And also, what I didn't like about that idea, what I didn't like about that phrase is bringing you into the assumption without your consent necessarily. That a man water skiing and jumping over a shark is a bad idea.
Yes, I've always thought this. It sounds quite good fun to
Why
me.
Why not?
I
mean, yeah.
Look, I've never seen the episode, I have to admit.
But it does sound right up my street.
Of course it is, Mike. And
can we change the meaning of the phrase to mean like they were bold enough to go there?
Yeah.
This is the zenith of the thing we're talking about. Because that sounds like if I had seen it, it probably would have been my favourite Happy Days episode.
And just to, for anyone that doesn't know about Happy Days, Henry Winkler.
The Fonz.
Played a character called the Fonz. And the thing about the Fonz was, cool. So when he sort of clicked his fingers, things would start working and stuff. Like, wasn't there a thing where the
jukeboxes were...
Yeah, he would like bang the jukeboxes.
Young women became lascivious.
Yes.
He seemed to live in a toilet.
A toilet became like a place where you could get a great night's sleep.
But he was too cool. He was hounded all the time. He couldn't get a minute's peace anywhere else, could he?
That's right. So he was the epitomical. So the idea of the jumping the shark presumably was, presumably in the writer's room for that show, they were always kind of thinking like, what can the Fonz do this week? So we've had him turn on a jukebox that wasn't working. We've had him turn on a fridge that wasn't working. Yeah. We've had him turn on a radiator that wasn't working well, and he got it to work better. Like presumably they were running out of stuff that sort of only the Fonz could do. So they had him water skiing, and because he's the Fonz, he jumped over a shark, presumably stuck its head out of the water.
The shark was trying to get off with him.
Shark was trying to get off with him, as everything did. is that what? Why is that such a bad idea? It's quite maybe it's all right. So I didn't like that phrase. The phrases that make you assume that you.
Do you accept the premise?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is that Happy Days was sunk by a shark jumping.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's on us to try and reverse its meaning.
But it's not just on us, Mike. I think it's on us and the rest of the listenership. After all, you can't sit on your own ass. We need to...
That's a good point.
We need to ask our listenership to help with this.
But also, will it make us seem a bit unconfident or something as a podcast? Will, if we start trying to change the meaning of the phrase jump the shark, will that be almost protesting a bit too much about in terms of whether we feel that we have jumped the shark?
I know that in series 12, we plan to all water ski over sharks.
Right. It's already in the
book.
It's in the arc. We've got a 20 series arc, haven't we?
No one's done that in an audio form. It's much cheaper to pull off in an audio form.
Yeah.
We could do it this episode if you want.
Whoa! That's going to be mainly that, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, I think to stop us from jumping the shark figuratively, we should try and talk about this topic.
Okay, let's do it.
Well, have you been to Disney World? I mean, that seems like... I mean,
I've I've been to Disneyland Tokyo.
How's that?
I didn't even know there was one in Tokyo.
No, people generally don't. It was weird. In Disney World, Tokyo, there's a certain number of parades that take place. And for me, in a theme park, the parade element is very low down in the pecking order of things that I want to be involved in. I'm not interested in a parade.
Yeah. You're unmoved by a Snow White and the Seven Dwarves float moving past you at 5 miles an hour.
Actually, these days, I think I'd be more into it. But at the time, I was like 17 or something.
Uh-huh.
What I want from a theme park is white knuckle experiences.
Okay, yeah.
In Japan,
yeah.
For some reason, everyone there absolutely fucking loved the parades. Like, would go absolutely obsessed. Like, so every time there was a parade, the rest of the park would be entirely empty. Literally, not a person.
Wow.
Oh, brilliant.
If you look to the horizon, there wouldn't be anyone there.
Wow.
Do they just pull off a particularly good parade? Or maybe you didn't see any of the parades, it sounds
like. I wasn't interested.
You might have been missing the parade of a lifetime. Maybe that's why they went. Because there were parades as you've never seen them before.
That's such a good point, Mike.
Because, I mean, Tokyo, I mean, they've entertainment-wise, they've been pretty well fixed up for quite a long time, right? If you could imagine it, it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they're at the absolute forefront.
Yep.
Of certainly what tech has to offer.
Yeah.
So if in Tokyo you could be attracted by a parade, it must have been a bloody good parade.
I wish I could tell you, Mike. I didn't go.
So did you have the rides to yourself during the parades?
I had the rides to myself.
That's
so I
good.
Would just like go on the roller coaster like 5 times in a row, just getting off, going back.
And probably
the queue.
Presumably particularly even more white knuckle, knowing there was no one operating the the roller coaster. No sort of health, safety
staff.
St. John's
staff. Ambulance guys. Yeah.
They were all watching the parade.
Just watching yeah. Goofy lolloping along, playing a huge trombone.
But in a way that you've never seen before and didn't think could be done.
So, yeah, it was really good from that point of view. But you're right. Maybe I should have followed the crowds and gone to the parade, but I had no interest in the parade. Hmm. What is weird is, like, character-wise, they go really hard on the original lot, right? Your Goofies, your...
Yeah, and you're at Disney, there are all sort of Minnie Mouses around the place.
Yeah.
Duck. Trying to sort
What's
of
the
trying
duck
to grow
Donald?
Daffy? No.
There's Donald and Daffy. Are they both...
No, Daffy's Warner Brothers.
Oh, Daffy's Warner Brothers, okay.
What was the Martian? Was he Warner Brothers?
He was Warner Brothers as well. He was called something like Alan, wasn't he? Or
was he?
What was it called?
It was like The Martian.
No, because Warner Brothers are they're a bit cooler, I think.
Yeah, well, they had a bit more edge, didn't they? A little bit.
Yeah.
That kind of...
Marvin the Martian.
Ah.
Marvin.
So yeah, Disney, they go big on like Mickey, Minnie, Donald Duck, Goofy, yeah. Pluto.
Oh, yeah.
Plutarch.
They love Plutarch. They're really old school, aren't they? But none of those are really... They're not really in anything anymore, are they?
That's what I mean. Like, they're not in the films that all the kids love, right? They all love Frozen and Moana and, I don't know, whatever it is.
And like Star Wars stuff.
And all
yeah.
the
Boba Fett thing, whatever it is. What's it called?
Mandalorian.
That's it.
Yeah.
Can you cuddle a Mandalorian now? If you go to Disney World now, do you get a cuddle from a Mandalorian? Is that how it works?
I think you probably do, yeah.
A Boba Fett with a huge head walking along.
Huge sponge head.
It's an interesting tactic from them because there can't be much love for those characters now amongst modern children, can there?
Yeah, I don't hear the kids talking about Steamboat Willie or whatever it was called.
Yeah, Steamboat Willie.
How long until they do Steamboat Willie 3D? And it's back and it's fully CGI. Surely that's in the pipeline.
And it's just really bland now. And it's like... I believe I can sail a boat. I believe I can sail a steamboat in my heart. Oh, it'll be all that kind of like...
It'll be sort of a 10-minute introductory doco about what a steamboat is.
Yeah. Were there Disney dollars when you went there? I'm going to have to reveal some more pain from my childhood.
Okay.
So when I was growing up, my brothers were 5 years older than me. And they still are. So there was a 5-year gap between me and the middle one. There was a 2-year gap between him and the top one. So basically, all things like theme parks, they did them. So they went to your Alton Towers.
Alton Towers.
For the white knuckle towel experience.
You went to Flannel World.
The Loofah Kingdom. Nutty Napkins.
They did all that stuff. They did the theme parks, and whenever that happened, I was too young to go.
Hmm.
And I used to have to hear this phrase quite a lot in my childhood, which is, and imagine this is at the age of six or something, to hear, no, don't worry, Henry, it's okay. You can go to Alton Towels in 5 years. So, oh yeah, great. So I just have to wait for how long I've been alive, basically. Cool. Sorry, Henry, just 5 years. Can you imagine, as a six-year-old, how long that is? So that's five Christmases. My body's going to change. I'll basically be a different person.
Be completely bald.
I'll be completely bald. So I never got to go. So you know, I've done no tour. We've discussed this before. I've never done a tour. We know that.
Did they make good on the promise, though?
No, that's the thing. Of course not. 5 years later, they always knew he wouldn't remember in 5 years. The little shit. That was the subtext. So I never went. I've never been to a theme park. I've never been to Alton Towels. I mean, I didn't even know. You know, it could be that I'm even getting the names of some of them wrong. I've never
Grahamthorpe Park.
I've not been to the magical and exciting cricket experience that is Grahamthorpe Park, I assume.
Chessington's World of Arbitrators.
Not into that. But you know how tragic it is. I so wanted to go that I can still remember by heart the Thorpe Park ad. Okay, I'll sing it to you. And I've never been to Thorpe Park, but I know every word of the ad because I was thinking, 5 years, Henry, just keep concentrating. 5 years, you can do it in 5 years. Just don't forget. Just so it was, when you meet the Thorpe Park Rangers, you can't believe the fun. What we're here to help arrange is a fortnight's fun in one. Meet the Thorpe Park Rangers today off the M25 at junctions 11 or 13.
Wow.
11 really or did. 13.
Yeah, not 12 for some reason. But for the love of God, don't try 12. No, you fools.
That's when you find the Thorpe Park Rangers after hours bar, yeah, where they all blow some steam after a long shift. You don't want to see that. I don't remember the Thorpe Park Rangers being a thing.
No.
Oh, when you meet the Thorpe Park Rangers, you can't believe the fun. What we're here to help arrange is a fortnight's fun in one. Meet the Thorpe Park Rangers today off the M24 at junctions 11 or 13. Sorry, once I get into it, I have to keep doing it every so often.
Why were the Rangers at the forefront so much of the experience?
They were characters.
Well, like the Big Dipper or whatever.
Yeah, they had some characters attached to it, the Thorpe Park Rangers. Ah. And I thought, don't worry, Thorpe Park Rangers, I'll see you in 5 years.
Just survive.
Junction 11 survive. Or 13. So I've never been to theme park, I've never been to Disney World or any of those things. I literally don't know what happens in them.
Can I ask you, Mike? When I was a kid,
yeah,
I really wanted to go to theme parks, but in general, the answer was no.
Of course, yeah.
Because they're very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But they did occasionally give in. So once we were on holiday in France, we went to Parc Asterix.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which was actually really great, although none of us were into Asterix, but it was really good fun. But at the time, I remember thinking, right, my parents have held out and really don't want to do this, but they're doing it because we want to do it. And then I was thinking, are they having fun? And I couldn't work it out. So when you take your kids to some kind of thing they want to go to, internally, are you just like, oh, for fuck's sake, this is awful? Or is it actually quite good fun?
Oh, that's I don't know. There is vicarious pleasure.
Yes,
for these things, certainly. And there's... that's a tricky one. That's a tricky one. I don't know. But I mean, the thing is, if you have kids because you wanted kids, then it's hard to say if you've got much of a leg to stand on to then say, but I just want to spend my Saturday just reading the paper and watching a violent Western and then getting drunk. Do you know what I mean?
You saw Benjamin Partridge Weekend Experience.
Yeah, you've got...
Which could be a theme park. So
you've readjusted your expectations.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
So then if you do go to somewhere like Creeley's World of Adventures, which is our local theme park.
Right.
Yeah.
It's obviously not something you're doing every weekend. It's obviously a big treat, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's also a little bit of there's a bit of you that feels like a bit of a champ because you've done the thing that you know they're going to enjoy, and they do enjoy it, and they do have a great time, and then you've sort of ticked the box
and you've done that for a while. You're not going to get pestered about that next weekend because we went last weekend. I don't think that's a good answer. Yeah, go on.
I've got a good idea here. I've got an idea that we can make money out of. Okay. Now, you know what they say in entrepreneurialism or entrepreneurship?
Nope.
Find the pain point. Okay.
Oh.
So you find the pain point. The pain point is, for example, basically all successful inventions and ideas in the business world, a lot of them have come about because someone has identified something that's irritating them, that's annoying. For example, why is it I have to sit on the bloody floor all the time and write my checks and my letters on the desk, which is I could barely reach it from down here? The chair. Yeah, okay. That's just one example. Inventions often come where you identify a pain point, you come up with a solution to it. So there'll be other examples. For example, I'm cramming bits of A4 paper down into this lever arch file. It's a mess. I can hardly keep track of them. I'm ripping through. I can hardly read them. The hole puncher.
Yeah. Okay, what about there are hundreds and hundreds of miles of worth of metal tracks across this country.
They're getting in the way. They're not helping people.
They're not contributing in any way, shape, or form.
Slowing us down, getting around.
Some of them are even electrified. They're incredibly dangerous.
Really dangerous.
Here we go. The train.
Exactamundo. Yeah, exactamundo. Okay.
I keep leaving my ornaments on this small pool of water, but then I push this handle and my ornaments disappear. I'm always losing my ornaments down this bloody machine. What can I use it for instead? I know. I'll piss down it instead. The toilet.
The toilet.
I guess the old watery ornaments bowl.
Yeah. Swallowing ornament after ornament and then shooting them off into the ocean, into the deep ocean.
Yeah.
There's figurines floating around in the sea. No use to anyone.
But Mike, that feels less like an invention and more like just using something in a different way.
Oh, I see the reuse. Yeah, you're right.
So I've identified a pain point here. I think we've identified a pain point in this conversation, right? Which is that your children want to go to theme parks.
Yeah.
They're really boring as an adult because what you want to be doing is sitting at home, watching a violent Western. What else was it?
Reading the paper.
Or just glazing and consuming a massive rib, you know?
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, that's a day.
So those things.
That's a great
day. What we need to do is fine, because let's face it, children are very, very, very unintelligent versions of adults. Is that right?
Yeah, so about it. Yes.
So, in some ways, more intelligent.
Oh yes, they do have an extraordinary wisdom, don't they? When you see them like running into walls and screaming and dropping their food everywhere and pissing themselves. Yeah, no, they don't, Ben. Sometimes I think it'd be better if the children run the world because they're the future. Are you fucking mad? It'd be global catastrophe, wars. They're not. I see them in the coffee franchises. They're not nice people, a lot of them.
There'd be wars over pencil sharpeners.
There'd be wars over pencil sharpeners, exactly. So essentially, what we need to do is design a theme park, which because basically, the children, they don't know what's actually good. I've seen this up close. They don't. They just think something's good because someone else has it. They've got no idea what's actually good or not, right?
Yeah.
So what you do is, you basically invent a theme park, which they think is a kid's theme park, but you're getting what you need out of it as well, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So
you put an accountant's in the middle of the theme park. A car wash.
A car... So, for example,
the admin zone.
The admin zone.
All of your life admin done in one afternoon. Yeah. By your children.
Turn it into a game, exactly. Make your children do it.
I want to tax the car. No, I want to tax the car.
Exactly. Get them competing over it. That is true. That would genuinely work. If they think it's something that's good to do, should we play the fun sponging the... What do you need to sponge in life?
Dog?
Sponging the dog.
Sponge the dog.
Sponge the dog zone. And maybe there's a kind of, you know, the roller coaster or whatever takes you through a sort of Western world where there is sort of a Western playing out in a way. So you get to sort of watch a Western.
Well, I think you've probably made your million there if you could be asked, but you can't.
I definitely can't be asked to do anything about that.
Now, you might remember that a few weeks ago we talked about the topic of sandwiches and... Like in a Boots meal deal, occasionally in a sandwich, packeted sandwich, You'll eat the two sandwiches that are in the box, but then you look down. Hang on. It's a threer. There's an extra sandwich.
That literally never, Ben, that never happens.
It does if you buy the all-day, is it all-day breakfast sandwich from Tesco? That one's got three.
But don't you realise at the point of buying, surely?
Depends how quickly or you picked it up.
How much of a hurry are you in? Are you just shoveling these things into your bag and into your trolley?
Do you know anything about my life, Henry?
Sorry?
Do you know anything about my life?
Yeah, no, good point, yeah.
He's not listened to a single word you said.
Ever. No, yeah, you're a busy guy.
I'm the CEO of HSBC worldwide.
I always forget that. And this is a hobby. All this stuff is just like a hobby, isn't it? I always forget that.
Well, it's a tax write-off.
And because this podcast is registered to the Cayman Islands, isn't it? The Three Bean Salad.
Well, I think publicly we need to say we are all proud.
Sorry, yes. Sorry.
We live in the Cayman. Residents of the Cayman Islands.
Cayman Islands, that's right.
Caymanians.
I'm actually literally in the middle of eating a traditional Cayman meal right now.
Of?
Cayman.
Of griddled Cayman?
Griddled Cayman, yeah.
On a flowery bap.
On a flowery bap. With a lovely Cayman Airs dressing. The Cayman really cuts through the fattier tones of the
Cayman.
Of the Cayman. Of the Cayman itself.
Of the crispy Cayman skin.
Yeah.
Mike, will you publicly pledge allegiance to the Cayman Islands?
Yes, well, I have to, obviously. Yeah. So I hereby pledge allegiance to the Cayman Islands and all of its special birds and the remaining coral and banks and until death.
Well, good. Well, like the Cayman Islands, sometimes you can make your sandwich or lukewarm banter go a bit further. I don't know quite how that's like the Cayman Islands. What I was meaning, like, you can make your money go further because you have to pay tax. Yeah. It's a failed analogy. I'm sorry. Here we go. Here's more sandwich chat.
I remember one of my worst... Oh, fuck, Mike, this was a night with you, in fact. Yeah. It's one of my worst...
One of your worst ever nights.
Of your life. It's one of the worst nights of my life.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the worst... one of the worst people I've ever spent a night with, actually. It was one of those...
Two often go together.
It was one of those stories. And again, as often happens, I forgot that it was you that was there. No, it was one of my worst ever sort of horrible gig experiences was doing a work in progress type thing in a basement in near Old Street, and then it was a work in progress for an Edinburgh show, and obviously, like, you know, maybe 8 to 12 people in the audience, I'd say.
Standard issue
of that 8 to 12 people, four of them were people from my school that I hadn't seen in years.
Christ.
Nonja, Baz.
Yeah. Curly. Pippins.
Curly.
Winthrop.
Curly, Pippins and Winthrop. Yeah. So my...
And Hopkins, the head boy.
Hopkins, the head boy. Freckly Hopkins.
Dr. Pombridge, the the classics master.
Dr. Pombridge, the classics master. Colonel Wiggins, the groundskeeper.
He was fluent in Serbo-Croat, but no one knew why.
And matron
with her trolley of horrific sort of medical implements and
her 7-foot hands.
With her 7-foot hands, which had to have gloves, anti-knit gloves specially made for de-lousing children. She obviously had her de-lousing chemical unit strapped to her back as usual with a nozzle ready to spray. As always. Yeah, it was absolutely horrifying sight. So you know, you're doing a work in progress gig. So you're looking, you're used to looking out over a sea of chairs,
of the cold indifference of the chair.
The cold indifference of the chair. And
you're used to performing in front. You can manage yeah. that crowd, right?
Well,
you know
well,
that crowd.
I 100% know that crowd. And I've become an expert in chairs. I mean, I can banter with a chair now. quite effortlessly for 5 or 6 minutes. And none of the other chairs will feel awkward or notice that anything's different. But also, you know, we all become experts in chairs, don't we? I mean, I can identify I can distinguish certainly between a metal chair and a wooden chair. I can...
Even in tricky stage lighting, even though with the light glaring in your eyes.
Right? Yeah. I could be like, that's an A-frame 1960s Perspex...
Perspex chair. Where have you been performing? 60s strip club.
I'll Soho gigs, yeah. that'll be the chair which has an aquarium inside it. That's the fully transparent.
And Christine Keeler.
Christine Keeler still on it.
Yeah.
No, but we're used to looking out, aren't we, over a sea of, looking out over a sea of chairs. And maybe identifying a few forms, physical forms. So there'll be someone, there may be someone that runs the gig sitting there.
Yeah, someone who's there by mistake.
There'll be someone who's there by mistake.
Some Spanish tourists.
Yeah, who've been duped in.
Yep.
To get out of the rain. Anything to get out of the rain. Even this.
Yeah. They're the ones who... It's quite poignant with them, isn't it? Because often the Spanish tourists who've been given a flyer have come to get out of the rain. They might have an optimistic facial expression on their...
Because whoever's flyed them would have been told, target the Spanish tourists and say something along the lines of, Televisio grande, famiso famoso, mucho bigo celebritario, you see?
En el channel uno. Potencialmente friends meet Nicholas Lyndhurst. Or Rodders. Entra. And they'll be like, oh, hello, Rodders. Oh, my ghost of Rodders. Oh, no. Oh, me fancy Rodders. Potentialmente el actor del El Boise. Oh, no, esto no es posible. Oh, me gusta Boise.
¿Dónde está Boise?
Oh, Boise, Boise.
Boise está muerto.
Oh, muy...
No!
No!
Named, of course, after the Earl of Sandwich.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly.
Is that apocryphal, is it?
Well, no, I'm sure it's true, but surely people were doing it before he did it.
But
it feels like an obvious thing to do.
But also, it feels a bit of a coincidence that his name was Sandwich as well. Do you know what I mean? I think that's
too
a
neat.
Little bit neat, that isn't it? That, that his surname would be the word literally for a sandwich. I don't think so.
Do you reckon there might have been a minion? Do you reckon there might have been one of the Earl's minions who actually came up with the sandwich? Is that what you're thinking, Ben? Something along those lines?
Yeah, like...
Or someone generally in his...
He doesn't feel like the kind of person that would be making much food for himself. Given that he probably had a staff and, you know.
That's true. And in fact, doesn't the story go that he was so busy poring over maps of Napoleonic troops or something? I don't even know where he was. What was he doing? He was busy. Whatever he was busy. That was the whole point. So he's even less likely to be making his own sandwich.
I think he was trying to come up with ideas for snacks and they were rubbish. Like, what if you got loads of cheese and a ball of dough?
So people were just presenting. Do you think it was a series of butlers presenting him with stuff?
I think he was
like a lasagna between two pieces of bread, and an apple between two pieces of bread.
I think he was just trying rubbish ideas for food like that. And he was like, Hamish,
a mackerel wrapped in ham,
a mackerel hollowed out and filled with olives.
Just
but no mackerel, just olives, in a mackerel skin.
I'm still in.
Still in.
Like, I hope next time we see Mike, he's gingerly gets out of his beeswax papers stuffed mackerel.
See, loads and loads and loads of dill just formed into the shape of a football,
but only very loosely and dry. So the smallest touch is going to disintegrate.
That was one of his ideas.
Cheese curtains.
Cheese curtains. But he was trying, so he was coming loads of, but because he's working so hard on this stuff, he needed something easy to eat while he was coming up with those ideas. So he charged his sandwich maker, Cyril. his valet, Cyril.
Cyril Sandwich. Cyril Sandwich. He'd been making sandwiches in his family business of sandwich making for generations.
So Cyril would give him a sandwich every morning. Mm. And every lunch and every evening. And eventually he
decided he might as well invent that.
Might as well just invent that.
But he came very, very close with the gazpacho waterfall.
He did. So, so close.
We've also got some extra bits from our mail episode. Now, you're probably quite safe listening to this, being a patron, because if you listen to the episode, it was an absolute mess of in-jokes and really would have been completely impenetrable unless you've carefully listened to every single episode that's been through it. But maybe if you're here, that means maybe you have done, so maybe the episode was okay, so well done. In which case, if you've stomached that, here's even more of the same thing.
Do you know what I realised after we did the mail episode?
What's that?
We didn't mention chain mail once.
Oh, no.
Idiots.
Okay. That is a shame,
isn't
it?
Maybe it'll come out of the beam.
We're losing our edge, I think. We're losing our... There's something gone wrong.
Yeah. Season one, we'd have been straight into chain mail, wouldn't we? If the mail had come up. Mike would have been looking up to his...
I probably would have been on holiday somewhere quite recently that was a specialist in selling Damascene chain mail or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit. Such shame.
Well, Mike's wearing a hauberk, isn't he, at the moment?
Yeah.
What's a hauberk?
Wearing a few of them.
A chainmail hauberk.
What's that?
I don't know. I'm going to Google it.
It means a homburg, does he?
A hauberk.
Hauberk.
Hauberk. It's a shirt of mail.
Is it?
Yeah. The term is usually used to describe a shirt reaching at least to mid-thigh and including sleeves.
Oh, so it's inconveniently long.
It's more like a nighty.
Yeah, it's a sort of chainmail nighty.
It's when you get a shirt that's two sizes too big for you.
Yeah.
It's an absolute tuck-in faff.
But if you need to do a piss during a battle, it's quite handy. Because, you know, we've all been in those battles where you have to go, you go for a piss, you have to walk all the way to the edge of the battle, go into the forest.
Queue up. Bogs will be gross. Bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you go back and you can't find your squadron. You don't know where they are. You end up just fighting by yourself with some people killing people, you know, with people you don't even know.
Or just take on an elm or something for a bit.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Just running onto the field shouting, turds, 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 turds.
When I think about letters, physical letters,
mm-hmm.
there is one one that comes to mind, which is when I was on a camping trip as a child, a school camping trip,
mm-hmm.
and I was in a tent with this boy who had been a friend of mine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use his real name.
Okay.
So I'm going to call him Jossie.
Jossie?
Jossie.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to call him, but that wasn't his name.
Well, right. Yeah, of course it wasn't.
Well, it wasn't anyone's name, so that's the safest one to use.
Was it Jonathan Ross?
It was Jonathan Ross. Right, we're gonna have to cut this. Of course, it was Jonathan Ross. It was Jossie, old Jossie Ross. So I'd been friends with this boy, and then so we were in the tent together for this school trip. It was just like a 3-day thing, I think, every weekend. And basically, pretty much as soon as we got into the tent and he sealed the zip behind him, he turned round to me and went, "I'm now going to be weird."
Oh, God.
And
it's very Mr. and Mrs. Wasn't Clown Room.
It was very, very. It was very Clown Room vibes. And he basically, you know the way children can be so freaky? He would just make a silly joke, but he wouldn't stop it. He'd be like, "Henry, you're a little piglet, aren't you? Piglet, 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 piglet."
Piglet, he was like piglet, a haunted piglet. Jester.
He was so like a haunted jester. It was unbelievable. And
was he setting you? Was he setting you riddles three?
Sounds like he's been possessed on the marshes by the wandering ghost of a slain jester.
He may well have been. All of those things were true. And
He should have been getting him exercise.
Yes.
Didn't have the kit with you, I suppose.
This is called, I didn't have my exorcism kit. It's the one time I haven't got it on me, obviously. It's when Jossie turns out to be a haunted jester. And I reached for my leg mounted.
Holy water squirter.
Holy water squirter.
Pump action.
Pump action water squirter. My collapsible crucifix. And
your collection of Bible bon mots.
Exactly. None of them were there. I just had my useless handgun, which I wasn't legally allowed to use. No,
And where did the letter come into it? Had he written in advance, warning me this was happening?
Well, that's the thing, Mike. I thought this can't get any freakier, and then he started writing me letters.
Oh.
There's a letter in your sleeping bag, Mr. Piglet.
Oh, during the camping trip?
No, he didn't write me letters, so I made that up. but what happened was, Jossie was being really, really weird. And, this is what it was. You know that thing where he'd be like,
oh, I'm a magical toad. I'm a magical toad. Ha ha, aren't I, Henry? Ha 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 ha. Wait, I'm a magical toad. Ha ha. And he'd be like,
yeah, but you're like that now.
Well, that's the curse of Jossie, Mike. That's the curse of Jossie. It's like that Japanese horror film. Only, you know, you experience Jossie, that means you turn into Jossie. Any one person's Jossie at any one time. If I Jossie you for long enough in this podcast, you'll turn out to be Jossie, and I'll be free.
Well, that's why we do this over Zoom, isn't it?
That's why, Mike, we have to do it over Zoom. But you know that thing of, and you'd be like, ha ha, Jossie, I suppose that is quite funny to think of you as a magical toad. But stop the joke now, because we're 4 hours into this, what's supposed to be a night's sleep.
And I've got to get enough sleep tonight, because tomorrow I'm going to be shitting my trousers, and that's going to require all of my energy.
It's going to require everything I've got to shit my trousers tomorrow.
Another in-joke for us.
Yep.
An in-joke that only people at the live show will get. So it's a deep cut that even regular listeners won't understand.
This is actually a different camping holiday, but it's from a similar period. But you know that thing where you start going to your friend, yeah, hey, Jossie, that's quite funny, but you're not actually a magical toad, are you? So can you just stop? And they go, but I am a magical toad. He wouldn't stop the joke. And you're a little piglet. Wouldn't what the toads do to piglets? They lick them. Do they? I don't know. Like, he wouldn't drop the joke. He wouldn't drop it. Day two, he's not stopping the voices. He was not. He won't go back to being normal. So I've now got.
Is the letter you're talking about the letter that was written to your parents telling them that you murdered a boy?
But in your defence, you were a boy, and there were mitigating factors.
And they've cancelled tonight's Jonathan Ross show on
BBC One. The letter was actually the letter which my parents received after I'd complained to the school about Jossie. My parents had complained to the headmaster about Jossie. We then received a letter telling us that
Jossie died 59 years ago.
Bitten by a toad.
it was two causes. He was bitten by a toad, and he also he ate an off piglet sandwich.
That had a bit of jester in it.
And his immune system just couldn't cope with that. Not all three factors. The letter I got was from my mum, because what happened was, Jossie was driving me crazy, and I was just being stiff upper lip and going, "You can get through this, Henry. Just hunker down at the bottom. Just make yourself a little ball. Go down the bottom of your sleeping bag, and just wait it out. Yes, yes, you can hear Jossie dancing up and down the tent. Yes, he seems to have, he's crafted some musical instruments. It would seem out of local roots and hard fungi.
How the hell has he constructed an accordion in that time? It's actually quite impressive, but God, it's loud.
He's got some sort
each
of
each bus and a button mushroom.
He's got some kind of woodwind section, which sounds like it's probably made out of a hollowed out shin bone, probably from an adult, maybe your PE teacher. Just wait it out, Henry. Wait it out. You know you can't attack him because you don't know which is the actual Jossie and which are the 15 wicker Jossies he's made. Which he talks to now, speaks to them as his army of Jossies. And I just thought, wait it out. And I kept myself together emotionally until I got this letter from my mum, you know, because just you could get letters at this place. Mm. So I got a letter. And I opened the letter. And the letter was just my mum's handwriting, which I felt very familiar with.
And TLC.
And it was just talking about stuff going on at home and mundane.
Your brother's
stuff.
Having a whale of a time without you.
My brothers are absolutely loving it. And look, we're not renting your room out, Henry. It's a short-term lease.
And she's a lovely girl and she's doing a PhD and how long can that take anyway, really?
Exactly.
She's working very hard.
And she's so polite, lays the table. You know, the funny thing is we're not actually missing you. And basically it was just this letter. It was just a normal letter from my mum. But all my emotions then broke, all the Jossy tension broke, the dam broke. And I cried onto the letter and I just remember my tears falling onto the ink.
As if from Henry VIII's wet ass.
As if from Henry VIII's wet ass.
And did all the ink start to pool and change? And suddenly it said,
Henry, is this Henry VIII? You know what I'd do with that boy, wouldn't you?
I had a much loved jester back in 1534. Bitten by a toad, he was. Oh, that's a nice, sort of a nice and sad story. Mm. Yeah. And I guess we end it by, the classic ending is I go, where's Jossie now? And you say, he's the governor of the Bank of England.
That's and right. He's still doing his magic toad thing.
He's still doing it. but I also think the thing that we can take from that is that you can't cry onto an email.
Mm. Oh, that's a really nice bit of marketing for like stamps, that would be.
Yeah. Mm.
You can't cry into an email.
And if you do, it means you're holding your laptop wrong.
My German pen pal, Sasha, who we'd been over to Germany first, and then we were corresponding in between then and him coming over to the UK. And my sister had been on this German exchange as well. We're twins, same time. And my guy, Sasha, and her girl, Vibke, had at no point mentioned that since our trip to Germany, they had become an item. And so when they arrived to both stay together at our house, this was then very clear. Because, I mean, they were like a young man with a Christmas ham, basically.
Oh, my God.
And my mother... I mean, in particular, my dad as well, my mother in particular, was just full of dread for the entire week. She did a hell of a lot of sentry work that week. I don't think she slept because she was utterly convinced that, you know, by the end of the week, she'd be packing them back off to their families and Vibke would be, you know, heavily pregnant. and obviously so.
So was this when they decided, put them in the sister's room, put them in the clown room?
Exactly. That'll stop those juices flowing.
That'll nip that in their bud.
Because the clown's only started rotting recently, so it's in its most hideous.
Mike, you're gonna have to go out and cull us some fresh clown meat. I want a middle-aged northern one this time. So
wow.
So hang on, were they exchanges? So you and your sister both had an exchange each come, and those
we were both
two were an
doing
item
German,
with each other.
And we both did the exchange. And we ended up, you know, staying at separate families. And then, yeah, there was a gap. And then they came to stay with us for a week.
And they, did they become an item when they were, while they were at yours?
They became an item in between times. So they weren't an item when we went to Germany. But in the intervening months, however long it was, they'd become an item. And we're kind of, this is, we must have been sort of 15 years old or something. So it's absolute danger time as far as, you know, a supervising parent is concerned.
And actually, they're just seeing that as a shag trip, aren't they?
Oh, big time. And they were full of the joys of spring. They were excited. They were so excited about what was happening. Sasha, my guy, went to the extent of, before he'd arrived in England, he announced to us when he got off the coach that he'd already invited all of the German people to a party at our house. And he'd made sure to let them know in advance so they had time to write to their pen pal so that they knew there was a party going on at our house that night.
You've been cuckooed by some Germans.
So we had sort of 60 kids suddenly appearing on this night to our place.
Playing some very hard techno,
wanting hard techno and soft condoms. That's what they wanted.
So were they a bit... I'm thinking, were they a bit more grown up and a bit more sort of...
Oh, completely. Completely. Yeah, they were allowed out much more, and they'd have the odd beer and things like that when they went out and stuff. And they'd mastered smoking, all this kind of stuff. You know,
it's a particularly horrible time in life, isn't it? When some people are like that, and some people are still sort of mainly Play-Doh based in their in their sort of pleasure world.
Yeah, oh yeah, I had to hide all my Playmobil men. You know, of course,
yeah.
15 years old, God save them, seeing that.
Yeah. So Sasha didn't seduce them.
The insatiable Sasha.
Sasha is such a cool name as well.
Yeah, I mean, he had it all going on in Germany. He was in a band. He was a drummer in a band.
I hate those people that manage to embrace teenage years and really, like, maximise them and actually enjoy them.
I think they thought we were ludicrous.
But Henry, these people have awful adulthoods, right?
They do.
Isn't that what you have to hold on to?
They do.
Because they peak too early.
Yeah.
If you peak at 15, it's all downhill.
All downhill. Yeah, captain of the football team. Where is he now? Isn't it?
He's the captain of England.
He's the captain, head of the debating society. Where is he now? He's just been prime minister. Three guys that were probably fairly average throughout their school careers. None of the three of them excelled at sport. None of them particularly musically gifted.
Making a podcast. That's unintelligible to the new listener.
And sometimes quite a hard follow for the long-term listener.
Yep.
Yeah, that showed them.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in getting an email from any listener who feels that they'd nailed being a teenager in that way. Mm. Like, if you were, like, lead guitarist in the band everyone loved.
Yeah.
Girls hanging off your arm.
Yeah.
Or boys or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, motorbike, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm imagining a kind of Marty McFly's of the character.
Yeah, keg.
Could tell the difference between marijuana and garden herbs, any of that stuff.
Had access to kegs and the special sort of hose
flatbed
you need to operate a keg.
Utes, possibly.
Utes. Knew a great little spot you could drive to where you could watch the stars twinkle out nice and pretty. If you were wooing someone at the time, you'd use that.
You're led to believe by every American film that every American city has a place you can drive to where you can then look out across the city.
Yeah. And neck.
And that simply doesn't work in most British cities. You'll just be in the car park of like a B&Q, not being able to see anything really apart from like a burger van.
And the stars come out. No, you can't see the stars because the burger fumes.
Burger fumes. A very powerful neon sign on the roof of the burger van is completely obliterating everything else.
Yeah.
But is there any way can you drive up and look out across Exeter? I assume not.
Quite flat country, isn't it, really?
No, there are hills. But I think they're either quite busy with livestock or I did a short film the other day for a friend and half of that was shot at the Norman Lockyer Observatory outside Sidmouth.
Ooh.
And that's a very pretty spot. But
it's not teenage, cool, romantic wooing, is it?
It's full Sidmouth. Of late middle-aged astronomers at night.
Yeah.
That's when it's at its busiest.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the last thing you want when you're trying to move to second base. Is someone hoiking their new lenses across the car park.
The other episode we had was called Glass. And In that episode, we spent a lot of time talking about Mike's very, very deep, very, very sexy voice that he had on that day.
It's a bit less sexy today, isn't it? A
bit less sexy, but still quite sexy. And that led us, put it this way, it led us on some really quite amusing, you know, chat bits. Oh, God. oh, God.
I wish you were a live announcer on a live TV.
Why can't
channel?
I do this?
I wish.
Well, I really wish that this. That was you. If there was some sort of national service, and you given that as the, like, the BBC One live announcer,
that live continuity guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
VG Alice.
Just with 15-second slots here and there. The schedule running later and later through the day.
One in four of those 15-second spots would just be the sound of Henry in the distance pissing.
Oh, shit. Going, hang on.
Sorry, oh, shit.
Hang on. It's Strictly, is it? Or Emmerdale? Is that the right channel? I don't know. I'm sorry.
Dead Air.
Okay. We also put out an episode about Glass, and during which we didn't talk about Glass that much. And here's some more of us not talking about Glass from the episode Glass.
Mike's gone sexy voice. What's going on?
Mike really has gone sexy voice.
I'm big time sexy voice down.
Wow.
Now, what a lot of people don't know about me is that...
Hang on, before we continue, did you... Is this some kind of experimental operation you've had to try and get more voiceover work?
Hey, you haven't gone to a Turkish clinic, have you? Because they promise all sorts.
I went to a Turkish clinic.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll sound great for the first 2 weeks, Mike, but then you'll sound like Daffy Duck in 2 weeks' time.
They did great. Well, yeah, I mean, we've been through that before with this clinic, and they're good guys, and they mean well, and they tried banding, grating, they tried installing small bits of elm bark down my larynx.
Okay.
It's definitely done something.
Yeah. And eventually they worked out that the thing that gives me real sexy voice is when I get COVID.
No!
What?
They gave you COVID.
So they gave me COVID.
No way.
Oh, shit. Mm.
Is this the sound of COVID?
COVID 69.
Holy.
You've got the 69 version.
Well, sexy COVID.
That's what they promised.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry. You've got the novel coronavirus.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Shit, man.
So I'm a snotty mess. I don't feel too bad. I look gross. I sound great.
With this new information, I'm reinterpreting the face, because obviously visually, I was thinking you'd just done a run or so. I was thinking maybe you're looking ultra healthy.
Because I was flushed.
Because you were flushed and sweaty. And your hairs look quite matted and sweaty.
Quite matted. And also there's a bit more stubble than you're used to seeing, maybe. But that's... Yeah. The stubble is unrelated. That's because I've got a hurty chin.
What?
Did you ask the Turkish clinic for one of those kind of Tutankhamun long pharaoh chins?
Yeah, which they weren't up to, but I said, come on, lads. How long have we been seeing each other? Just give it a ruddy go.
You're staking everything on a Mummy Returns comeback, and you want to be first in the queue to play Tutankhamun. These are the risks you've got. You've got to take gambles, haven't you, in this career?
Yeah, I've changed the tour show, so I'm going to do a one-man Mummy Returns. I'm going to play all the characters.
And you'll be primed.
And each section of my face represents a different character.
Okay. So which part is it Rachel Weisz?
Rachel Weisz is the mole on my left cheek.
Okay. I can see that now.
Yeah. That's so I'll grow out the hair on that. So there's some lovely luscious, glossy, shakeable hair on that.
Lovely. So what's actually the issue with your chin? What's the issue with your chin?
Oh, I fell over. I was playing football with my nephew.
What?
He wanted to do goalie practice. The trouble is, he's from a family where there's not many good options for this sort of thing, you see.
Because you're scraping the barrel. I mean, you don't know anything about football at all.
Nothing. Nothing at all. To the extent that my suggestion was that I line up six balls in front of him and I kick them at him as hard as I could, as quickly as I could. Which, to his credit, he enjoyed.
And he was basically learning what to do as a goalkeeper when the ball flies over into the stands. Kind of how to react, basically.
When six balls in a row fly into the stands and to next door neighbour's garden, which I assume is a big problem.
So what happened to your chin in that situation? Did he just punch you?
He didn't. He was very even-handed about the whole thing. He was on a little bit of grass. I was on a bit of quite slippery decking. And I had to describe it. You've seen when a foal is born, yes?
Of course. Of course, it's one of nature's most grotesque and at the same time uplifting sights, isn't it? Yeah. It's got all the emotions. Yeah.
So picture that foal being born, but as he's being born, he's also trying to hoof one into the top left corner as hard as he possibly can.
So he's still. So his body is folding out because they're completely trestle tabled, aren't they, in terms of their
yeah.
They're triple trestled, aren't they? Folds.
He's triple trestled. So
they're incredibly sort of folded up on into themselves, and they.
And I did a sort of 360, probably a 720 flat pack midair with trestling and retrestling.
Oh,
and then landed very elegantly the full force of my 12.5 stone on my chin.
So you got a sore chin. I actually can't see your sore chin.
It's split open. You probably can't.
Oh.
And is that how the COVID got in?
That's how the COVID got in, yeah.
Well done.
Do you have a sense of where you got the COVID from? Obviously, it's quite hard to pinpoint these things.
I don't know, but because before I see my nephew, I'd been feeling grossy and I'd done a negative test. And then last night I had to do another one and then that's when it came up. So I don't know. I've been moving about, you see, a bit with the odd gig here and there. And
you've got to stop kissing the fans, Mike.
Yeah, they don't like it.
Well, if you feel like you need to kind of bail out or during this recording,
I think it's okay because the last episode I was worried about that. Maybe I won't be able to pull my weight, but I think the stats from last week demonstrate that I'm not pulling my weight anyway, so I think it's fine.
Just keep. It's a COVID-friendly role you play, isn't it?
Yeah, as long as Henry Carron's doing his 4,000 words to my 53 words per minute, or whatever it is. So I think it's just the status quo. And I think, Henry, you're editing this week, so I don't know, it's the revenge of the edit. I think you're going to be cutting out a lot of sniffling and coughing.
Oh, God, you're going to...
I'm afraid.
Okay,
it's
going to
be hard work for you.
Well, that's I owed that.
Sorry, old bean.
It's all right.
And I assume you have packed your schedule with... voiceover job.
Smooth dark chocolate coffee granules.
You've got to make hay, haven't you, voice wise well, your voice is like this. Get yourself out there.
40 different varieties of bean in one can.
Oh yes, we need to basically capitalize on this and get some sort of jingles made with this voice.
Yeah, you need to fill your boots and you need to cover stuff that hasn't even come out yet as products, because you need to you can corner this market for a long, long time.
Solar panels in the shapes of boobies and dicks.
Yeah, just take guesses, but you go for it. Just record and get as much as you
know.
We just don't know.
It's going to be out there.
But I think you could become the return of the Inner World movie trailer guy with this.
In a world where a prequel to the prequel hadn't yet been written, here was a prequel starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson and a prequel you had no interest in reading about. The prequel, it's all about how the writer came up with the idea for the prequel in the first place.
We prequeled out of the filmmaking process. We prequeled to pre the idea of the film.
It's true, actually, that trailer voice guy has sort of gone, hasn't he? He doesn't exist anymore.
He was a mortal man, wasn't he, to be fair?
He was a mortal man.
But it's been kept alive by parody more than anything else. So there's probably more parody versions of it than there were actually real versions of it.
Yeah.
Trailers now, it's just rhythm, it's all percussive.
What do they do now?
What are you saying? They're coming! Anything. It's a purely percussive.
It's Hans Zimmerified, isn't it?
It's Zimmerman on the bongos, basically. You just get Hans Zimmerman in a studio with some bongos.
Maybe is it eyeball ratio? Like you talk about the Megan trailer the other day. So you've got to have a massive amount of eyeball in the shot. Right?
Yeah, you want some close up on eyeballs. Yeah.
Whereas if the eyeballs are a bit further away, then maybe there's some sort of big adventure happening, right? If the eyeballs are in the long distance, they're standing on top of a hill somewhere looking out to the sea.
Yeah.
Big adventure. Yeah.
Eyeball ratio.
Close, horror.
I'm trying to think if you get VO at all in a trailer, but you don't, do you?
I don't think you do now.
And thinking back, it's so absurd. Mm.
The cinematic event of the season.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks.
Generally, it was Tom Hanks.
In his most heartwarming movie yet. Yeah. He was just a regular guy.
He was just a regular licorice salesman.
It's much more advertising-y, isn't it? It's kind of like from a bygone era of adverts as well, where they would just be like...
Yes, ads were like that.
Caramel smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Layers of dark mince
Everything. It was just
encased in smooth caramel.
What is this? A kind of sweet lasagna?
Galaxy mince balls.
Viennetta lasagna edition.
Hershey's travel lasagna.
I don't know what happens with ads now, because I think ads don't. No one really watches TV, so it's. I don't know what it is now. I think the main thing is they listen into your conversations. And if you say... The main advertising I experience now is the internet just... We all accept... None of us know how this happens, but we all now accept, don't we, that phones, laptops, tablets, fridges, probably kettles, everything's listening to us now.
Yeah. Hmm. And occasionally, once every couple of months, someone will come on the radio to explain that that isn't happening.
Yeah.
But we know that's not true.
Yeah. And that person saying that is listening to us, almost certainly. While saying that, and so occasionally I'll be on a web page, and I'll have said the word toilet to someone, and there'll be loads and loads of toilets advertised to me,
And delivered to your door,
and delivered to my door, and it's one of those things
starter
where
toilets.
They'll send you a starter toilet round,
encased in smooth caramel,
and with a rich
nougat centre,
enrobed in delicate pork and lamb mince.
You open the front door and they'll be like, well, the thing is, it's a no sign, no buy, there's no policy, there's no guarantee, there's a no win, no sign, no pay, you don't have to do anything, that's guaranteed, but we've got the toilets here, so we've got a starter pack, you've got 50 toilets in a truck. Now look, you're saving,
and you've got all the different kind of ones, you've got the ones with the golden crumb. You've got the coconut topping one.
Coconut topping. Any toilet you can imagine. And all you have to do is, you've got a subscription package on offer. So there's no pressure. Again, there's no guarantees, nothing. No pressure, nothing. There's nothing. But you've got the option to sign out of, if you want, but bearing in mind it's going to cost you money to sign out. It's going to cost you less money to sign in. Currently, you're saving between £500 and £700 a month. That's before you even put your trousers on, Philly. I mean, I can see that you've just woken up.
Yeah, don't put your trousers on. Whatever you do, don't put your trousers on before you've let me finish.
Just let me finish.
Conditions, because if that belt goes up before you've had the C's and C's, you're in real trouble.
You're in big trouble. But basically, it's a subscription model. So if you subscribe, you sign up, essentially you're streaming toilets in effect. So every morning you'll open the front door, there'll be a fresh box of toilets. We choose the toilets, but there's a whole range. And...
We've profiled you. You've got electric toilets. It's what we've profiled for you. They're in Azure.
That's right. And
they come with sunroof.
They've all got...
And minibar.
They've got minibar. They've got different handles. They've got a variety of different handles on them. Some of them are display handles. Some of them open up in a compartments. You can watch the plumbing process through the viewing deck if you want. But basically, you know, it's all about like subscription model, isn't it? Is there any truth in any of that or not?
Can I just say, I think it's quite sweet that you are, as a person, so preoccupied with the subscription model. It's just come up quite a lot in conversations with you over the past couple of years.
I'm obsessed with it. Just everything you get now, you've got an option to, they say, so look.
Patreon.com/3beansalad.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on, I'm part of the problem.
I'm part of the problem. That's how bad it is. I didn't even know I'm a subscription model. I am a subscription. But like, if you try and buy some sandals now, they say, look, you can take these sandals, right, for £35. Or for just £25, you can have as many sandals as you want per month. but that's for £25 a month. So you're saving £15 right now. You're walking out of here with a pair of sandals and £15 in your pocket per month over the year. Well, no, yeah. For this month. And also, you can get out of it any time you want.
And don't worry about the fact that 35 minus 25 isn't 15.
Don't worry about that. We will worry about that.
That's our problem.
This is about taking the worry out of your pocket and putting it in ours.
Has COVID given you incredible math skills, Mike?
That's right. Sexy voice and sweet arithmetic.
Sweet math.
Math.
There is a lot of subscription model going on, isn't there? Do you find that?
There is. I have to say, I haven't seen it applied to sandals yet.
Yeah, but it will be.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, can I tell you how this first occurred to me?
Is it because of the death of religion, Henry?
Oh.
Is that why?
Big question.
Do we need something to believe in?
Can I say that's a big question? I do know the answer to that, but I'm not going to tell you right now. I've got bigger fish to fry.
Okay.
I was inches away from signing up to having 4 pedicures a month for the next year.
Okay, now, look, we've all been there, right? I was inches away, literally inches. It was there. It was, the document was on the reception top, and I had a pen, and it was, I just had to sign the dotted line. It was happening.
The pen was already in your beautifully pedicured between your toes, ready to sign.
The pen was between my my right large toe and
your index toe.
My index toe, my smooth, shiny, baby soft index toe. And I was just, I mean, the pedicure had been so good. I was doing that thing where I was spinning the pen between them, just thinking about my decision, spinning them, spinning the pen between the two, spinning. Yeah. Then I worked it down to the middle toe, down to the baby toe, then up again, then down. Then I tossed it over to the other foot as I worked over this decision in my mind. And
who got you that close? This person is a sales genius.
Well,
I mean, they need to be redeployed to sort of UN crisis resolution or something.
Well, I tell you what, Mike. They say the route to a man's heart is through his stomach, do they?
They offered you a steak and kidney soup pudding.
Hey, what's that lovely warm feeling? What's that lovely warm wet thing that's happening to my left foot? I'm just going to take off the the eye guard and have a look. It's hot lamb and pork mince enrobing my left foot.
With a sweet caramel scent.
That's right.
Cased in crushed biscuits.
Because we've given you the deluxe 1980s pedicure package. It's all enrobed in mint chocolate. Because the future of chocolate is mint. There can be no doubt about that. The two forces of mint and chocolate will forever be linked for the rest of humanity. Yeah, basically, we've all been in this position, right? You've got a summer holiday coming up.
In 3 years' time, yeah.
And you know it's going to take at least 3 years to crack through some of that dry heel skin. You need to get started now.
Start sloughing.
What I was trying to say was, they say a route to man's heart is through his stomach, but what they don't mention is another option is via sloughing dry skin off his heels, ankles, the balls of his feet, and the underside of his toes.
It's a very abbreviated idiom, isn't it?
It is. But I think that's implied, because I was putty in this woman's hands. But basically, yeah, I had a summer poolside holiday coming up, and I was sick of being that guy who's walking down the beach.
You could hear him from 300 yards off. Clickety-clacketing.
I'm sick of being that guy clickety-clacketing up the beach, and people going, oh, is it the donkey ride? How much for a donkey? Oh, sorry, sir. Is it the donkey ride? Oh, no, sorry, sir. Sorry. Oh, mummy, it's the donkey. No, it's not the donkey. Oh, no, make him be a donkey for me. Would you mind us being a donkey for our son? Because you sound like a donkey. And it's his fifth birthday, and we'd really... Yeah, fine, I've done it before. Don't worry, I know the drill.
I'll hold you, Gresham, and I'll meet you back here.
So, yeah, I'm sick of that.
Yeah.
And the comments, you know, take T-Rex heel, or crispy toed dick, you know. Do you know what I mean? The shame. And also leaving a trail of dry skin everywhere I go.
And so trackable as well. So trackable.
Especially if you're in the habit of not paying in restaurants on holiday, which I am.
And trying to escape through the undergrowth.
Makes it much harder. So basically, I thought I'm going to have a little pedicure. So it's my first ever pedicure.
Yeah, I've never had one.
No, likewise. It has been suggested to me on quite a few occasions.
Yeah. It was nice. Warm water, hands on feet.
So what stopped you going weekly?
Well, and then what happened? And then I thought, this is a one-stop shop.
I'm sorted now. You know? This is the new me. This is forever me. Yeah.
And at the end, she was like, well, look, you know, I've made a start, but what you really need is...
I've made a start. God, that's chilling.
I've made a start. She said, you need... you know, for this amount of micro, it was a lot of money there, but it's like, you know, you could get a month, you know, you get, there's a discount involved. You could be coming here every week. And I was going along with it in my mind. I was like, yes, I need to make this part of my life. I need
fresh nubile. I need to be nubile and beautiful from the ankles down.
Yeah. I need to feel foot confident all year round. Why should I? And also, why should it just be the people at that beachside holiday retreat that get to enjoy my feet? My feet should be enjoyed by people all year round. I should be wearing sandals. I should be one of the people that wear sandals most of the year. And I actually did. I have actually become that person recently. I've got really into sandals.
Are you wearing sandals in October?
Pool sliders, baby.
It is.
It's sliders. Right, are those sliders? It's all about breathing.
Sliders. Is that though? I thought sliders were quite hip, though, aren't they? Is that for breathing a feet, or is that because you're a slave to fashion?
No, it's breathing and look.
Lovely breathable plastic,
Mike. There's no reason why you don't have to be healthy and look great at the same time. There's absolutely no reason why those two things aren't compatible. And just let me show you. Just let me just yank my foot in the air again. If that wasn't clear enough, there is absolutely no reason why you don't have to look great and feel great.
Henry Packer's plastic feet aerators. $12.99 a month.
But going sort of barefoot in the middle of this cost of living crisis is a real power move, isn't it?
Mm.
I'm wearing four pairs of socks.
Your feet will be warm, but you are creating a fungal
utopia, yeah.
Sort of paradise in there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's already a fungal paradise. I lost that battle years ago, Henry.
Living in a fungal paradise. So, it's been a long foot journey for me.
Lovely.
And every foot journey does start with a single step. So, do think about that.
Think about what? Which bit?
Later on. Think about it later. The feet. But what I've learned this, because I've learned a lot this summer, it's been, people often have a journey of self-discovery over a summer, don't they? Often it's sexual, romantic, emotional. For me, I have in a way fallen in love with my own feet this summer. And I caught their eye.
You're Danny Zuko and your feet are Sandra D.
Exactly. My feet caught my eye in early June. And it was one of those romances where you think these two are never going to get on.
Well, they weren't, they?
You know what I mean? This is never going to work.
But how can you truly love another unless you love yourself, which you can't do unless you love your feet?
Yeah. Exactly, because the feet are the foundation of everything.
Well, at the bottom, aren't they?
And so some of the things I've learned are the feet are just like any other organ or section of the body. They have lungs, don't they? They breathe. So the feet have...
This from a man who has illustrated an entire anatomy textbook.
It didn't cover everything, obviously. You can't cover everything in one book. But the feet breathe. Don't they? That's a key thing to realise. So keep them out as much as possible and maintain them. They're just, you know, in a way, they're your two favourite cars. That's how you should think of them. But you don't have an MOT for your feet. You don't have an FOT.
What does MOT stand for?
Ministry of Transport. So you've changed that to the feet of transport. you had a choice, didn't you? You could have made it Ministry of Feet.
You don't have a feet of transport.
You went the other way. And to your credit, you did so confidently.
I went the other
feet
way.
Feet of transport. Which, I mean, it kind of works. I mean, to be fair.
Well, you don't have a feet of transport. Or at least you won't, certainly, if you don't maintain them. Anyway.
Yeah. Try and unpick that argument, dear listener. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good luck. I was very, very close to signing a subscription model, and because I was in the moment. My feet had just been sloughed and moisturised.
Does it feel good, though, at that point? Or is it agonisingly painful? I sort of assume that phase is... See, I imagine my feet being sort of dipped in acid and sort of power hosed or sliced.
No, like everything else in life as well, I learned there are different levels. And I was only on the entry level one. So like everything, they give you grades. So basically...
Are you sure this wasn't Scientology?
Well, she did say that part of the reason my feet were in such a bad state was some of it may have been caused during re-entry when I entered the Earth's atmosphere.
And they were full of unsatisfied theta.
Yeah. And I thought, I've only got an hour. I don't want to embarrass her. So I didn't point out that she thought I'd been brought up on a spaceship. I'd been brought up in Islington. It's not.
You do have an Uncle Zargon, but that's someone else. Yeah.
I do have an Uncle Zargon. But yeah, so I hadn't got the full package. I actually got the sense she was leaving some on when she was sloughing. She wasn't giving it full slough. There was definitely a more deluxe slough. There was a bigger slougher with a sort of sharper...
And remember, you can sign up to our Patreon for extra episodes because we leave some of the content behind the paywall.
That's right. And there are three different tiers within our Patreon.
Of pod slough.
Of pod slough. But, you know, it's all fine, really, isn't it? That's just how the economy has to work. You know what I mean? Have I just sort of undermined our entire Patreon sort of push?
No. I don't think anyone listening will be particularly clear on what you're saying.
No.
Yes.
No, I'm certainly not.
That's true, isn't it? That's true. Yeah.
But, Mike, you're in the sort of COVID haze. But I feel exactly the same way and I don't have COVID.
It's not just a fever dream.
No, I think the point I'm making is be careful because sometimes... With our patrons, that's a decision you can make in your own time. Whereas sometimes
You're put under pressure. You're on the spot.
You're on the spot. And also, I thought in that moment, I thought, this is my future. This is my life. There was the smells coming off all the nice smelly things in that room. It was a nice kind of calm environment. And I thought, this is me. This is my future. Weekly and maybe even daily. I mean, I was thinking, could I fit this into my morning routine? Could I actually work from the could I work from the sloughing chair? If I could get my laptop in there, I could actually podcast while being sloughed. I could actually make not being sloughed the exception. Perpetual sloughage.
Okay, that's your extra beans for this
Thank
month.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you very, very much indeed. Cheers.
Yes.
We'll see you in December.
Yes, please.
Bye.
Fare thee well.